Hey, girl. Yes, you. You are seen. You are loved. And you were made for more. Hey, created especially for teen girls, chart-topping Christian artist Ann Wilson invites you to her 40-day devotional, Hey Girl. Through honest stories, scripture, and journal prompts, Ann talks about real struggles, comparison, insecurity, doubt, and faith, reminding you that God is always near and fighting for you. Hey Girl, from K-Love Books. Get your copy today at klove.com/books.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Happy New Year to you. Welcome, folks. Great to be back behind our great, big, beautiful, huge microphone. Broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. Hope you had a good Christmas, by the way. I ended up working. Newsmax had me doing multiple shows over the holiday. But still, great to be back with you today as we work through some pretty crazy stories. Now, normally, we do not start off the show with a guest, but today we have a very special guest, our good friend Mike Lindell, the founder, the creator of MyPillow, and because of this man, most of America can actually get a good night's rest, and now he is running to be the next governor of Minnesota. He joins us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Mike, it's been a long time, my friend. First of all, hope you had a Merry Christmas.
I sure did. Thanks for having me on, Todd.
You got it. Mike, very exciting news, and I want to talk about the Somali fraud in just a moment, but I'm just curious, what is it that prompted you to decide, you know what, I'm going to run for governor?
Well, you know, there's been things I wanted. I grew up and born and raised in Minnesota, and I've had business there. I started from scratch my whole life. I was used to be an addict in downtown Minneapolis. I was set free by the grace of God with my addictions and worked with the inner city people and Teen Challenge Union Gospel back in the day, poured millions into that. And then I seen all the problems we were having, and I was actually going to run. I told the president before the 2020 election, I said, you know, I think I'm going to run for governor of Minnesota. Well, then, as we all know, when that election came down, it was stolen, and I put my heart and soul into securing our election platforms the last 5 years, and we've made great progress in that, and I felt it was time. My wife and I, we prayed about it over Thanksgiving, and as you know, MyPillow's been the most attacked company in history, and I said, if I can get MyPillow right, I feel secure where my employees are safe, and this lawfare and this other stuff that they kept coming after MyPillow to cancel them out, it was at a level that that I could move on. I said, I'll run for governor. And then all this fraud and all this other stuff starts to get exposed. And I seen the other 12 candidates that are running. And I just said, you know, it's got, if you want something done right, you do it yourself. And I just know I can do the job, get it done. And with all the experiences I've had in business and both building businesses and fixing them as you have problems. So it was kind of a combination of things, but I've been thinking about it for a long time, and he did not want me running. As soon as he heard I was running, Tim Walz said, he put out a big press release, do we want Mike Lindell and Donald Trump coming into Minnesota and ruining our family values? That was a quote from Tim Walz.
Wow. This guy, Tampon Tim Walz, it's crazy. Is it true? We heard rumblings that people are literally driving by the governor's mansion and hollering out, this guy's getting heckled wherever he goes, wherever he is in Minnesota.
Yeah, well, right now he's putting out stuff with all the fraud. They say it's upwards of $9 billion now and in under your watch. And if he wasn't in on it, it's got to be the biggest neglect of a governor in the history of the world, because they're calling it the biggest fraud in the United States history. And and what he's been doing, because the Minnesota media covers for him too. They're all in bed together, I think. And they, but he's going, we got to get rid of the guns. We got to get rid of the guns. That's his focus this last week. You're just deflecting. If you're in Minnesota and you're just focused on our local media, you're probably still brainwashed that nothing's wrong. And then you go to social media and you see there's 100 million views, everybody, 100 million of from this weekend of that Nick guy that
Nick Shirley
that made those Nick Shirley that made those amazing videos, went door to door to the Somalian healthcare centers, and there's no kids, and there's no kids, and they can't hide this one, Todd. They're not going to be able to hide this one. They've been doing this to our welfare systems with education. They did it with autism signups, Medicaid, housing programs. This fraud's been going on in one case or another with all these welfare programs, but this one's so blatant, you can't even explain it away. The only thing that they could do is keep the reporter Nick from going inside, and they wouldn't let him in. Well, where's the kids? Well, we don't have any kids. Well, and then one of them says learning center, everybody, learning center, and they didn't put the N. It says luring center. It's despicable, and it's they say it could be the New York Post reported on December 21st that it could be upwards of $9 billion. That's half of Minnesota's $18 million allotment over the last 5 years, and that's all of Somalia's national economy combined.
It's just outrageous, and it's
really is.
I mean, when you look at and that's all taxpayer money, Mike, that could be used to help actual law-abiding American citizens.
100%, and then you talk about Minnesota's taxes going up and up and up, and that's one of the biggest reasons why. And one of the things I'm very, you know, that I another reason I wanted to run for governor, but the biggest problem, some of the biggest problems we have, obviously, is these welfare programs in general. Are they good? Do they work? Let's say they were all done legitimately, but you've got a lot of people, I don't want my taxes going to that, or maybe I don't want my taxes going to that. And I developed a program about 8 years ago, or now it's been 10 years, and we launched it in Detroit. I launched it in a whole bunch of countries to test it, and it's absolutely amazing. It combines private sector money with government money, and it'll take away all those programs, and this will be a perfect plug-in. And so I've got a good solution for that, and then I've got a, with all the addicts, you know, addiction's kind of my forte, me being the ex-crack cocaine addict, and I've got a great thing that I worked with Ben Carson on in the first administration to get the homeless and the addicts and the people that have mental problems off the streets. And it is absolutely, I still have the blueprints for that. So that's what every city needs. You can't just take these people and move them over here and then move them over here and move them over here. And this really, these programs work. And then the other one is education. So I've got a lot of things that from my past that I can pull out now and say, hey, here's the solution for this, including, by the way, everybody, running for governor, because there was a few things I was going to do for our great president that we didn't have to even get that far in 2024, and I'm going to pull them out of the arsenal there, and I'm going to launch that. So anybody wants to help out, it's MikeLindellGov.com, and we get this funded, and it's I will win that primary and beat Walz. I guarantee it. I'm pretty excited. I was polling. They did a pre-poll, and I was polling at 54%. And I haven't even, you know, didn't even really get started until a week ago. So those are betting polls where I think they think they know, I guess, who's betting on who to win the primary. We have 12 people in the primary in Minnesota.
Well, I think you're going to be able to clear the field with that Trump endorsement, no doubt about it, and the fact that everybody loves MyPillow. And I'm serious. Look, let me ask you this, though. You know, the flag, Governor Walz changed the state flag, and it kind of looks like the Somalian flag. If you're governor, will you restore the original flag?
If we were by video right now, I got one in my hand. Absolutely. First day. that was so sick what he did to us and changed that play. And also, God, he did another thing, and you guys can look it up. Look it up online. He put in our capital of Minnesota, it's a satanic statue right in the middle of the capital when you walk in. And he says, no, I don't really condone, I like this, but, you know, we got to be fair. Fair what? It's the only statue in there. That statue is bye-bye the day I get in there, and here comes back our good old Minnesota flag. The stuff is just nonsensical things that you would do that. It's almost like, you know, evil just wants to shove it in your face, and that's what's happened to us in Minnesota. You got to realize this guy had, when we were during the China virus, remember, he burned down, they let Minneapolis get burned down, but we had, in Thanksgiving that year, he made us stay in our homes that we couldn't have more than 8 people. If we had more than 8 people, your neighbor turned you in, you had a hotline, and you got 90 days in jail, potentially. And for Christmas, Tim Walz gave us an extra 4 people. Here, you get to have 12 for Christmas. You know, just disgusting.
Wow. Wow. All right. Mike, we've got a lot to talk about. We're going to get you back on. I know you're super busy today, and we appreciate you taking some time out. We wish you nothing but the best. Can't wait to be able to call you Governor Lindell.
Well, thank you so much. And you guys, if you want more information, if you want to help, it's MikeLindellGov.com. This is a national problem, and I know when it comes out of Minnesota, it's just the tip of the spear for what's been going on in our country.
Yeah, well
said. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for having me on, Todd. God bless you, and we'll talk soon.
All right. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Mike Lindell running for governor in Minnesota. And I love that. He said the first order of business is to restore the original state flag. In all seriousness, they just redid the state flag, and it looks like very close. I mean, color, design, everything. It looks like the flag of Somalia. You can't make this stuff up, folks. You just can't. But the level of corruption, and we'll get into more of this, the fact that all it took was, a 23-year-old independent journalist to go in and expose, uncover in one day over $110 million in fraud. Just unbelievable. All right, we've got to take a break here. What do you think here, folks? Mike Lindell, running for governor, has President Trump's endorsement. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Every so often, a film comes along that challenges us to look closer at what's happening in our own backyard. Sexploited is that film, a gripping new 4-part docuseries that uncovers the reality of sexual exploitation happening in every community in America. You will hear from survivors, law enforcement, and advocates who are fighting to expose and end this modern-day slavery. It's not easy to watch, but it's something every American needs to see. You can stream Sexploited right now or purchase the DVD by visiting sexploitedfilm.com or salemnow.com. That's sexploitedfilm.com or salemnow.com. Watch it, share it, and stand with those working to bring freedom and justice to the exploited. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. What an honor to have you with us today. And don't forget, ToddStearns.com. Go and check it out. It is filled with all sorts of great original content. Also, you can download our free newsletter. It comes out about 3 times a week. And you also get access to our free podcast. You can go back and listen to our full interview with Mike Lindell. I want to go to the phones. Let's start in Houston, Texas. Don is listening to us on Patriot Talk 920. Don, Happy New Year to you. What's on your mind?
Well, Happy New Year to you, my friend. I've called several times. I'm very happy to say that you're one of my favorite podcasters. And by the way, here's my question. Now, I love President Trump. I think he's doing a heck of a job. Okay. Now, he's appointed FBI, DOJ, a lot of people. Okay, they've had Senate hearings, they've had this, they've had that, they've said that, you know, we've got fraud, we've got perjury, we've got all, but nobody that I know of, unless it's a very minor character, has ever spent jail time. Now, perjury, if I understand it, is an illegal activity, and it is punishable. Even if they only sent them to jail for a week, it would stop a lot of the stuff that we got going on. Why hasn't somebody, somewhere, sometime, gone to jail?
Well, Don, it's a terrific question you ask, and one the president has been asking as well. I know that Pam Bondi is feeling a little bit of heat right now from the White House because we just haven't seen much movement at all. Now, I know Harmeet Dhillon was talking about this over the weekend, and she says it takes time. The statute of limitations is we're not anywhere near that expiring, so they keep telling us to be patient. But I got to tell you something, Don. One of the things that really bothered me, you know, when all the reports came out about what's happening not only in Minnesota with the fraud, but also in Ohio now. So you have Somalians at the center of two major scandals. And all we're hearing from Congress right now are comments like, oh, we're outraged over this. How could this possibly? You know what, Don? I'm tired of outrage. I want to see action. I want to see people go into jail.
I'm with you. I'll vote for you if you want to run for office.
I'm good, thank you. I don't want to take a pay cut, Don. And
I understand.
You know what I mean? It's well, then again, I mean, you know, you for whatever reason, I could become a multi-bazillionaire just because of the stock options. I'm not sure what it is with members of Congress, but they become miracle workers.
You're right. Well, all you got to do is get in there and spend. You know, you make $175,000 a year, and yet you can be a millionaire within just a matter of a few years. And I don't understand that, but it seems to be the way they do it, and that's why they stay in office forever. Let's have term limits, and let's start putting people in jail that do fraud, that do perjury, and commit crimes. If they come in here illegally, they go out. Illegal just means that it's against the law. Okay, if we have a law, then we can try them. We can give them a fair trial. That's fair. And then if they're guilty, we put them in jail. If they're innocent, they go free. Makes sense to me. I don't understand it. I don't understand what's happening with the Republican Party. Why they want to be, I guess, so forgiving when the people that they're fighting against are not forgiving. And I want them to stand together as a group, just like the Democrats do. The Democrats walk in lockstep. And, you know, if we can't get behind their president and stay with him, you know, he's not perfect. We know that. He's going to make errors. He's going to make mistakes because he's human. That's a fact. And we got to accept that. And we're not going to like everything he does. But for the most part, I'll give him 85-90% of the stuff. I love what he's trying to do. But now let's get behind him and help him.
I everything you just said, Don, is so accurate, and your very reasonable, common sense approach to all of this. Look, here's the challenge. The Republicans, I think some of the Republicans have learned. They've learned from Trump. They've adapted those tactics of knowing, you know what, it's okay to fight back. It's okay to go after the media, and we the people expect you to do that. And some of them are doing it, but again, with leadership, and especially on the Senate side, you've got John Thune, who simply will not do away with the blue slips or the filibuster. And I will say this, Don, thank you for the call. I will say this about the midterms. If the Republicans in the Senate don't do away with the filibuster and the blue slips, that could spell disaster when the midterms come around. That's what's holding up President Trump's agenda right now. So we've got to talk some sense into our Republicans in the Senate. We've got to, again, double down on whatever is happening in the House. We've got an interview coming up with Tim Burchett, and he's got a concern about what could happen in the next couple of months. All right, we've got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Hey, folks, Angel Studios is having their biggest sale of the year, and it's one you don't want to miss. Right now, you can get an Angel Guild membership for as low as $6.99 a month for 12 months, plus two free tickets to see David, the brand-new animated musical about the shepherd boy who became a king, in theaters this Christmas. A deal so good, it pays for itself. Now, listen, I talk a lot about protecting our families, what we watch, what we bring into our homes, and this is one of the easiest ways to do it. This is Angel's lowest price of the year, and honestly, it's the kind of gift that keeps on giving. Entertainment that fills your home with light, and that's something worth supporting. Go to angel.com/starns and take advantage of their biggest sale of the year. Well, Starbucks, they're shutting down more stores, everybody. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. This story out of CNN, Starbucks closing at least 400 stores across the country, including 42 in New York City alone. That's about 12% of the total Starbucks locations in New York City. You know, the running joke at one time was that there were so many Starbucks that they were actually opening up Starbucks inside the bathrooms of existing Starbucks. I mean, that's every other corner in New York City had a Starbucks on it. And that philosophy is, that business philosophy apparently is just no longer working. But I don't know about that. Dylan, are you a Starbucks guy? I know that old Dieter was. He used to live and die by Starbucks.
Oh my gosh, don't I know it? Yeah, I would see it every morning, the venti, which is their large. No, I don't like Starbucks. It's way too sugary. There's not enough coffee in the Starbucks for me.
Yeah, it tastes burnt to me.
Oh yeah.
I don't know why. It's, you know, I prefer community coffee. It's my go-to jam.
Yeah, and it's cheaper and it tastes better.
It's what, $5-6?
Yeah.
And then you got a tip.
Yeah, it's off the charts now. I think it's like $7 or $8. I mean, my wife, she gets Starbucks all the time, and so.
That's a lot of money. It starts to add up.
Needless to say, she got a lot of Starbucks gift cards for Christmas.
Oh, well, that's good. Okay. Yeah, those will come in handy.
Fix the problem.
Well, the problem, a lot of people are thinking they just have too many stores. I would contend, first of all, it's the price point. It's just too expensive. But most of the stores that are closing are actually in big cities like New York City, Chicago, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. And what do all of those cities have in common? Number one, they've got a high crime rate. The downtowns are overrun with drug addicts and homeless people. And Starbucks made it a point several years ago to open up their stores to anybody. So you did not have to actually order anything at Starbucks. You could just go in and just hang out. And that's what a lot of the homeless people were doing in San Francisco. They'd just go in and they would use the bathrooms to bathe themselves. And then they would come and just lounge. And I got to tell you, I don't think a lot of people, even in San Francisco, they want to be drinking their, I don't know, liquefied lawn clippings. What is that, matcha? They don't want to be drinking the matcha next to a drug addict. I mean, I may be wrong here, but I think ultimately that's the reason why. So I think it's fascinating in this article at CNN that somebody actually brings that up, is that, well, you know, one of the big problems, and just let me run the numbers here, 20 locations in Los Angeles already shut down, 15 in Chicago, 7 in San Fran, 6 in Minneapolis, and 5 in Baltimore. And I would say in Minneapolis and Baltimore, you got to have Kevlar. So people are saying, you know what, maybe, just maybe, I need to go get my coffee somewhere else. And I mean, there are lots of other chains that are popping up. We've got something called, Dutch Bros? I've never been. I hear it's good stuff. Dieter swears by it.
Yeah, it's also expensive. It's just so much better to make your own coffee nowadays because it's so sugary. But I like the locally owned coffee shops. They're typically Like, there's like four people that run the whole store, and it's the best coffee you've ever had.
So. That's what I do. Yeah. But typically, I'll just make it at home.
Yeah, right.
Have you noticed that a lot of people are now switching back? They're getting rid of the Keurigs, and they're just brewing their own coffee?
I have. And, you know, funny enough, I'd recently learned how to do that. And I know that I'm 26 years old, but I know how to make coffee now.
Look, it's never too late to learn.
It's true.
Never too late to learn. Yeah. I'll teach you how to use a stove coming up next.
Yep. Stove and an oven. Yep.
But in all seriousness, again, it saves money. I mean, when you start... Yeah, the Keurig. So first of all, if you're drinking from home, if you're doing the Keurig, you're saving money. But if you're going to brew your own batch of coffee, you're saving even more money. May I just tell you, and I am a community coffee kind of a guy, but may I just tell you, old school Folgers, it really is good to the last drop, as the television advertisement says. I'm just saying. So all that to say, I hate it for Starbucks, but they're the ones that are partly responsible for this, because they turned their little coffee houses into what they thought was going to be woke utopia, and then they were overrun with people doing number two in the bathroom and not using the toilet. And nobody wants to drink coffee around that. I'm just saying, nobody wants to drink coffee around it. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. All that to say, they still have 18,000 other stores out there, but they're dropping like flies. Let's go to James in Arkansas. James, what's on your mind?
Well, I've got an answer. Thanks for taking my call, Todd. I've got an answer for the guy that called and said, hey, I'd like to know why no one's going to jail. That's because the Republicans and the Democrats all have an agreement, because they've all been up there for 40 or 50 years. That I won't send you to jail and you won't send me to jail. And that's just the way it is, because you never see anybody going to jail. Nobody. And as soon as they start talking about this Senator Mark Kelly and maybe pulling him back to active duty and court-martialing, as soon as they start talking about that, oh, my gosh, some stuff came up about the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth. Oh, my gosh, we're going to have to prosecute him for killing drug terrorists, right? And that's what they do. There's always some blackmail or something that they've got on each other, and they're not going to jail. None of them are.
It's yes, James, you've hit it right on the head here, my friend. It's true. There is a uniparty that exists in Washington, D.C. Donald Trump came into power in part because he promised to blow all of that up as best he could, and I think he has. He's done a great job of it. But the reality is there are a lot of Republicans who are still, if you want to call them establishment or rhino, I guess you could use those terms and that terminology. But we are still many, many election cycles away from having a true America First Republican Party. And by America First, I mean a party that actually delivers on their campaign promises instead of wanting to pal around with the Democrats.
I can tell you three things that will change Washington, D.C. forever. One is we repeal the amendment to the Constitution that basically says senators get elected by the people and go back to where the state legislatures appointed the senators. Number two, you get rid of all those lobbyists that go up there and hand out money, hand over fist, all those people, make that illegal to lobby Congress, and then make a law that if the people in Congress, they have to release every last tax return, every last bank account to the American people every year. And I guarantee you, when they figure out they can't game the system anymore and cheat and make millions of dollars, they'll quit going up there, because there's no point. Because they don't really want to serve the country. All they want to do is make money.
You sound a little frustrated today, James.
Well, it's just, and I've been listening to you for a long time. I listen to Bon Gino, I listen to Chris Plant, I listen to all the guys, and everybody always talks about, yeah, boy, they've got them now. They're going to send so-and-so to jail. No, they're not.
Oh, no, sir. No, sir. Not on this program. I have been, And as a matter of fact, just a few moments ago, we talked about this. You know, I'm tired of the outrage and the righteous indignation. They have got to start throwing people in jail. They've got to follow through on all of these threats. And I'm telling you, James, I have run afoul of just about every Republican up there because I've been very, very direct and deliberate criticizing these hearings that are costing millions and millions of dollars, and nothing ever gets done about it. Nothing ever happens.
And nothing ever will, Todd. I'm sorry, but nothing ever will. Until you change the system to where they can't make millions of dollars and there's no profit and benefit for them to go up there, until you do that, it's just going to keep on going the same way it is. That's why they tried to impeach Donald Trump. They didn't impeach him because they had evidence on him. If they had anything on this Epstein thing, guess what? That would have been out back in 2015 when he announced he was running the first time. But the fact of the matter is, until you make it where they can't game the system anymore, they're going to keep going up there and doing what they're doing.
Mm. James, I hear your frustration, my friend, and hang in there. We're going to do our best to hold them accountable on this program. And folks, that's going to require all of you picking up the phones and giving your elected leaders a call and giving them the what for. Sometimes you just have to have a good come to Jesus meeting with these folks. All right, we've got to take a break. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. You know, we just heard from Mike Lindell a few moments ago, and this past year, it was one of the hardest in MyPillow's history. And it's because of loyal listeners like you that they're still standing strong. And to show their appreciation, Mike is offering a very special Christmas savings exclusively for our listeners. Now, right now, you can get the Children's Bible Story Pillow 5-Pack for just $29.98. My slippers, you're going to be able to get my slippers for $39.98, plus a variety of blankets and comforters and duvets starting as low as $25. And there's a major blowout deal on the standard MyPillow, now only $14.98. Visit MyPillow.com. That's MyPillow.com. Use my promo code STARNS, and you'll be able to unlock all of these wholesale prices. Again, that's MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS, or you can call them 800-839-8506. That's 800-839-8506, and be sure to use that promo code STARNS. Hi, this is Todd Stearns. This past year has been one of the hardest in MyPillow's history, and it's because of loyal listeners like you. They're still standing strong. To show their appreciation, they're offering special Christmas savings exclusively for our listeners. Right now, you can get the Children's Bible Story Pillow 5-Pack for just $29.98, my slippers with a free bottle of leather protectant spray for $39.98, and a variety of blankets, comforters, and duvets starting as low as $25. Plus, there's a major blowout deal on the standard MyPillow. Get this, only $14.98. Visit MyPillow.com or call 1-800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS to unlock these wholesale prices. That includes the standard MyPillow, normally $49.98, now just $14.98, with queen sizes marked down to $18.99 and king sizes for only a dollar more. That's MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. I know a lot of you took the youngsters, your kids, your grandkids, and you took them to maybe see, I don't know, a movie or like a musical. And, of course, The Wizard of Oz is really popular around Christmas time. And there's a story out of Memphis that I want to share with you. This happened at the Playhouse on the Square. Dylan, have you ever been over to the Playhouse on the Square?
I have, yeah. I've seen a few shows over there.
Our good friend Aiden Pettit is one of the stars, very talented there. And it's a professional theater company. And so every Christmas, they do something for the children. Isn't that nice? They do a lot of, other shows. But they've been trying to do something, and they try to do something for the children at Christmas time. As a matter of fact, what is it? They got Well, they have a tuna Christmas, which is pretty good, I understand. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of tuna, but, you know, whatever. They've got another one called Sex Work coming up. I take it that's not for the kids. And something called Jagged Little Pill. Also, Jesus Christ Superstar. So, look, can we all just establish the fact, and we're going to paint with a broad brush here, that these theaters are as liberal as the day is long. Can we all just agree on that? But let me tell you something. Playhouse on the Square may actually top the cake. They've got a statement on their website. We believe strongly in diversity, equity, inclusion, and change. That is not surprising. They said, we will continue to make every effort to strategically and purposefully increase the number of Black, Indigenous, and people of color on our board and our staff, on our stages, and leading our classrooms. We will invigorate our commitment to partner with historically Black colleges and Latinx majority university theater departments to foster stronger professional training, performance, design, and administrative opportunities. Again, nothing unusual, but here's my favorite part of it. They also have a land acknowledgement. Playhouse on the Square would like to acknowledge that we are on traditional, ancestral, and unceded land of the Chickasaw, Choctaw, and Quapaw Nations, on whose land we work, labor, and create. Now, let me just say this, and I'm glad they're acknowledging all of this. So they're actually admitting that they built their theater on stolen land. It just seems to me, if you're going to put out this sort of a statement, this is sort of an up yours. I'm not sure the Indian people would take this as something that is, they mean it to be conciliatory. I don't think that's how the Indian folk are taking it. And it just seems to me they have an obligation just to give it all back. No, I'm not saying tear down the theater. I'm just give it all to the Indian people, right? I mean, you stole it from them. It's their land. But that's not why they're in the news. I got an email from several parents, and the parents are very upset because they had a Christmas presentation, a Christmas production of The Wizard of Oz, and it was promoted for children. When you read the descriptions, nowhere in the description would you think this was like an adult version of The Wizard of Oz. So anyway, we had a mom, and she reached out. Several moms, actually, reached out. And, oh, by the way, Dorothy's Black. Again, that goes back to their whole, that's their philosophy. That's their DEI stuff. Nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's what all the theaters do these days. So anyway, apparently, the production of The Wizard of Oz included men wearing dresses. They were in drag, and the parent was really upset because they weren't given any advance notice, and there was a children's day at the theater, and nobody was told in advance, oh, yeah, they're going to be drag queens. And so now you've got folks that are pretty upset about all of this. Now, we reached out to the theater, and well, they're not talking, and I'm sure they don't think they did anything wrong at all. The woman said, I had no idea they would turn a children's play into a vehicle for a drag show, or we would have stayed home. There were multiple scenes of men in dresses. This was not for comedic effect, but clearly part of the worldview of the theater. She said there were large men with beards wearing red silk dresses. Oh, my. I can see where that would be problematic. So anyway, here's my issue. I'm not surprised this happened, and I think if you're going to the theater, I think you have to actually bring this up and say, hey, look, are there going to be any things that are inappropriate for kids? Otherwise, you're going to have to be explaining to your, 5-year-old why there were big, burly, hairy men wearing dresses prancing across the stage on the yellow brick road. And that would be an awkward conversation. So anyway, wow. And again, I think that the theater would have no problem putting drag queens in front of the children. As a matter of fact, they probably thought this was a family-friendly production. But there you have it. No, I think Dorothy was, in fact, a woman. I think. I don't know, though. I don't want to commit. Hang tight. Hour two of the big show coming up. We'll be right back, everybody.
What if everything you thought you knew about online exploitation was only the surface? The shocking docuseries, Sexploited, rips the veil off the digital darkness, destroying lives. You'll be stunned by what's uncovered in these real stories. Watch the trailers, if you dare. Once you see it, you'll understand why silence is no longer an option. Visit SalemNow.com and watch Sexploited in America. And visit SexploitedFilm.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, ladies and gentlemen, it is your host, Todd Starnes, the voice of truth and hope across this great nation. Trust you're doing well, everybody. We have got a lot going on. By the way, a good chunk of our audience buried under snow right now. This huge winter storm that's causing all sorts of, we're hearing waves as high as 30 feet on the Great Lakes. Really shocking stuff. What is it? They named the storm. You know, they used to not do that. Back in the day, back when I was growing up, back when many of us were youngsters, you had a snowstorm and they called it a snowstorm. But now the Weather Channel has been giving names to these storms. This is Winter Storm Ezra, which doesn't exactly pack the same, like, you know, the hurricanes all get names, like, you know, Hurricane Maud or Hurricane Nadine. Hurricane, I don't know, Arangelo. But Winter Storm Ezra, and they're saying that this thing is going to cause big, big problems as it moves through the Midwest and up into the Northeast. Winter Storm battering Minnesota right now, which is a big deal. All sorts of flight delays in Wisconsin. The Dakotas, they're saying winds up to 50 miles an hour. So anyway, you guys stay warm in those parts. And last night we had a big storm system move through. It was the same storm system moving through our area. We went from 75 degrees to 28 degrees very quickly. So it's a mighty cold out there. All right, our telephone number this hour of the program, 901-260-5926. Again, that's 901-260-5926. Coming up, we're going to be talking to our good buddy, Steve Gill. He's going to drop by, the publisher of TriStarDaily.com. So look, big, big doings coming up in New York City, where Zohran Mamdani is about to be sworn in as the first Muslim, the first socialist to lead New York City. And he's thrown his support behind a woman who identifies herself as a Palestinian American. Her name is Abir Kawas. She is a member of the Democratic Socialist of America, and she's running for a seat in the New York State Assembly. Now, what's interesting about this gal, Abir recently condemned the 4th of July and Veterans Day, two of our most beloved, our most cherished holidays. She said Veterans Day and Independence Day represent the silencing and destruction of the socialist movement. She also once described the events that transpired on September 11, 2001, as something a couple of people did. That's how she described it. And so anyway, Abir has the full backing of New York City Mayor-elect Zohran Mamdani. It's so bad, Even Democrats are going to, this lady's crazy. Robert Holden is a member of the city council from Queens, and he condemned Abir and accused her of hating the American dream. He also warned New Yorkers they need to stop electing people who despise the country and everything that the red, white, and blue stands for. And you can read more about this story over on my website, toddstearns.com. Well, he's not wrong. I mean, it sounds to me like this guy's a pretty moderate Democrat. But this is where the Democrat Party is going right now. It's a big mess, a great big mess. 901-260-5926. President Trump has a spiritual advisor. Her name is Paula White. You see her. She's got a TV show on the Trinity Broadcasting Network, one of the Christian cable networks. And she said something about President Trump, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. Cut number 7.
Wherever I go, God rules. When I walk on White House grounds, God walks on White House grounds. I had every right and authority to declare the White House as holy ground because I was standing there, and where I stand is holy.
To say no to President Trump would be saying no to God. And I won't do that.
We are in a spiritual war right now. Let every demonic network that has aligned itself against the purpose, against the calling of President Trump, let it be broken. Let it be torn down in the name of Jesus.
You want me to tell you what my thoughts are? The thoughts of the King of Kings. The thoughts of the Lord of Lords. I'm downloading heaven.
Wow, I think she was speaking in tongues there at the end, and I cannot interpret. I'm a Baptist. But let me just say this. The idea that she's saying that to condemn Trump is to condemn God. Ladies and gentlemen, that is, wow, that's not in the Bible that I read. But anyway, this is the president's spiritual advisor. Paula White is her name. We've had her on the show a time or two. She says, wherever she goes is holy ground. Therefore, the White House is holy ground because she has an office there in the building at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. So just curious to hear your thoughts on that theology. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Oh, this story, I'm not surprised by this. Walmart still had two more stores in Portland, Oregon. You know, they shut down a lot of them because there's too much crime. I mean, you can only survive for so long if people are going in and stealing all of your stuff, all of your merch, and that's what's been going on anyway. Walmart now confirming they're pulling the last two stores out of Portland. Take a listen.
L'Oreal businesses that I spoke with here on Southeast 82nd Avenue say that crime is dictating the future of this neighborhood. And when business owners heard that Walmart was closing, even though the company says for financial reasons, they interpreted that as an increase in crime, like shoplifting. It's a neighborhood in Southeast Portland that business owner Daryl Hansen says has seen better days.
The whole 82nd's changed, you know, in the last 20 years, especially the last 10 years. It's really gone down here in the 5 years. Each year it keeps going down and down and down. More crime, more garbage, more homeless people, more drugs, you know, and there's nobody wants to help.
Daryl has owned and worked out of his muffler shop on Southeast 82nd Avenue near the Eastport Plaza for nearly 40 years. Hearing Walmart is pulling out of his neighborhood a few blocks away isn't a shock to him.
It hurts his community right here when they leave. A lot of people depended on that story.
He blames Walmart's exit on the out-of-control crime in the area. He says he's watched businesses close and friends leave Southeast 82nd Avenue for similar reasons.
I have a lot of friends. I've had friends I deal with before. They said, no, we're leaving Portland. They've left. You know, and that's what Walmart, they left.
The Eastport Plaza sits in the Lentz neighborhood, and according to Portland police crime data, between January 2022 and 2023, there were 147 burglaries, 634 personal property thefts, 424 car thefts, 53 robberies, and 3 stolen property offenses.
Jeez,
keep in mind, this is just what's been reported to Portland police. Take a look at this U.S. post office on the north side of the Eastport Plaza near the Walmart. Every window is broken, with plywood covering the damage, and neighbors say it's been like this for weeks.
Basically going through hell, you know, we're going through a really sad time that we have no support, no backup.
Portland City Commissioner Rene Gonzalez represents the Lentz neighborhood of Portland. He sent Fox 12 this statement saying, quote, "While it's critical to support local small businesses, big box retailers offer an affordable option for working class families throughout the city, including East Portland."
Wow. Well, there you go. And again, it's the out of control crime. And I will say this. I was several years ago, we were in Salem, Oregon. We did an event with our great affiliate there, KYKN. Wonderful time. But as we were driving around, I think I was staying at a hotel in the downtown area and just loved the downtown area. But it was very clear that that area had been ravaged as well because of the crime, a lot of it coming down from Portland. And it's really heartbreaking because Salem's a lovely community, a beautiful people there. And I remember even for our event, we had to have it under pretty super secret they didn't release the location, all of that stuff, because they were afraid, you know, that the leftist mob would show up and all that kind of whatnot. I think we could have taken care of ourselves. But it's really sad that people have to, you know, they got to live like that. And it's because of the people that get elected to office there. You know, they're pro-criminal. It's really unfortunate. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Before we go to break, I want to bring up Tucker Carlson. A lot of people are going, what in the world is wrong with Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens? But what's going on with those two? I mean, they've gone off the deep end. And so now Tucker is out there, and he's saying that all of you people that believe radical Islam is a threat to the nation, that you people are off kilter. And he feels sorry for you. He says that he feels sorry for people who view radical Islam as a bigger threat than OnlyFans. It's a website. He was doing an interview with the American Conservative, and he was asked about this Turning Point USA poll, and the poll showed that most people in attendance at TPUSA believe radical Islam is the biggest threat facing America. Now, Tucker responded by saying, this is the direct quote, "I don't know anyone in the United States in the last 24 years who's been killed by radical Islam." Really, is that right? Because you know what's happened in the last 24 years? Something called September 11th, 2001. Thousands of people killed by radical Islam on American soil. And by the way, there have been at least a dozen attacks, jihad, waged by Muslims on American soil. Just a couple of weeks ago, you had the two National Guard soldiers in Washington, D.C. You had the shootings by the Muslim at the at a military recruiting center in, where was that, Chattanooga. There was another incident in Little Rock, Arkansas. Fort Hood. I mean, we can go on and on and on. So what is going on with Tucker Carlson? Now, Tucker said that he's buying a home in Qatar. He's been facing a lot of backlash from conservatives. And I'm just not getting this at all with this idea that Islam is a peaceful religion. That's what Tucker Carlson is saying. As a matter of fact, I want to play some audio for you just to kind of give you an idea of, let's see, Tucker Carlson from 2017 to where we are with Tucker now. Cut 5.
So a lot of Americans are concerned about Sharia law.
Sure.
And they're concerned about polls that show a strikingly large number of Muslims would like to see it supplant civil law in the countries in which they live.
Sharia law is bad, Seth. I don't know if you've heard that. It's bad. It's worse than what's happening in New York and Detroit. It's just bad.
I don't know of a single Gulf country where it's illegal to proselytize on behalf of another religion. I think that in every Muslim-majority country in the world, non-Muslims are treated, have fewer rights.
And you can tell when you go to a place like Abu Dhabi or Riyadh, like, oh, man, I hope we don't ever wind up in a society like this with a rape rate of zero, where you leave your keys in your Lamborghini and don't ever worry about it being stolen.
So you often hear people say, well, Sharia is intolerant, women are treated badly, gays are treated badly. Women have, in the Quran, fewer rights than men do.
I'm not Muslim. I'm not for Sharia law. On the other hand, compared to what? Compared to Baltimore?
In England, it's 4 out of 10 British Muslims. In France, 29% of French Muslims would like to see it replace French law.
You know, if people want to get wasted, they do it at home. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I hope we don't wind up with that.
But I've seen a bunch of polls like this that show that the attitudes of faithful Muslims are not Western at all, and that they include a tolerance of violence you don't find among, say, Presbyterians or Jews.
You know, shut up. Sharia law.
Meanwhile, a California imam is apologizing after he referred to Jews as filth.
O Allah, liberate the Al-Aqsa Mosque from the filth of the Jews. O Allah, count them one by one and annihilate them down to the very last one. Do not spare any of them.
Sorry, Sharia law.
Wow. I don't know what's wrong with him. I don't know if he's been paid off, if the Arabs came in and are just giving him a huge paycheck. But clearly something is off. I mean, you heard a guy who changes your value system. And again, this is a deeply held value system in just a few years. Something's not right there. All right. We've got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. We'll be right back.
What if everything you thought you knew about online exploitation was only the surface? The shocking docuseries, Sexploited, rips the veil off the digital darkness destroying lives. You'll be stunned by what's uncovered in these real stories. Watch the trailers, if you dare. Once you see it, you'll understand why silence is no longer an option. Visit SalemNow.com and watch Sexploited in America. And visit SexploitedFilm.com.
All right, let's go to the phones. John in Kentucky. Hey, John, what's on your mind today?
Well, first of all, Mr. Stearns, I hope you had a fantastic Christmas and a most successful upcoming New Year.
Well, thank you for that.
And continued health. I've got a question for you. You mentioned it a few minutes ago. When all these people are complaining about their government and the rise in crime rates, and all this other stuff, especially in blue states, even in red states like Texas, like Richardson, Texas, where they now have a Muslim government, is this not the fault? And I'm sure some of these people aren't going to like what I'm saying, but I don't really care. Isn't this the fault of the electorate? Aren't they the ones that were stupid enough, and I mean this stupid enough and ignorant enough, to put these people into power? They were the ones directly, they're the ones, it is their fault, 100%. It is their ignorance for not going beyond the beyond them listening to them instead of studying the issues. And I got a joke for you before I go and hang up and listen for your answers. Todd, did you hear Santa Claus had to send his elves back to school when he got back to the North Pole?
I don't believe I did.
Yep, they had to go back and learn the elf-a-bet. I'll listen for your answers, Todd. God bless. Love you, brother.
All right. Thank you there, John. Very witty. Yes, look, you vote and you do your research and you get out there and you vote on election day and you elect a Democratic Socialist, you get what you vote for. And I don't think that the federal government ought to be stepping in to intervene. I think that we don't need to be sending them any money, any resources. And if New York City fails, New York City fails. And I'm going to go a step further. I don't think any of us should be forced to pay any more taxes until we get a handle on all of this fraud that's happening with the Somalis and all the other illegals. I mean, we're looking at possibly tens of billions of dollars in fraud happening across the country. And that's really just the tip of the iceberg. All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Sexploitation has killed more children on American soil than ISIS ever did. While we think our sons and daughters are safe from sexual predators and exploitation, they're being victimized right in our homes, in front of our own eyes, through their phones and computers. And until you watch this docuseries, Sexploited in America, the enemy will remain strategic, methodical, invisible, and deadly. Today, up to 90% of our children and families have already been captured, and you will not know until it's too late. In one case, a boy committed suicide just 27 minutes after he was contacted by this enemy. Rescue your children, protect your families, and defend our nation by watching and sharing the docuseries, Sexploited in America. Visit SalemNow.com. That's SalemNow.com. Or visit SexploitedFilm.com. www.sexploitedfilm.com.
Well, there's a lot of scuttlebutt on the socials today. All over John Calipari, who is the head basketball coach over at Arkansas. I want to bring into the conversation our good buddy, Steve Gill, who actually played basketball at the University of Tennessee back in the day, now publisher of TriStarDaily.com. Steve, good to have you with us. Hope you had a good holiday.
Ed, and man, basketball season is getting ready to hit full throttle. I love this time of year.
Well, I do too. It's a lot of fun, and Coach Calipari is really frustrated over the NIL, and he's come up with an idea, and I want us to listen to this. I'd love to get your thoughts on it. Cut number three, please.
Oh, I say to you, if a kid transfers four times, is he going to graduate from that school? There's no way. You can't graduate. So now you're going to be done playing without a college degree. You have no ties to the last school you went to where they feel that you're from Arkansas, you played here, we're here, you're going to have opportunity. That's done. You're offered $55,000 in your first job, and you go, what? $55,000? Do I have to show up? Are they going to, you got me an apartment, right, or a car? I mean, I'm worried about mental health. Mental health. That, look, I've been poor. And you know what's worse than being poor? Coming across some money and then being poor again. That's the worst. That's probably why I'm cheap, because I'm not going back there. But
yeah.
So my thing is, and I've been pushing this, you can transfer once without penalty. Because you picked the wrong school, the coach lied to you, there was another player that came that you didn't know about one time. And after that, you got to sit. Because what do you think they're transferring for? Somebody help me here. Why are they say it. That's it. It isn't because they're mad at this or that. I can extort you, and if you don't give it to me, I'm going over here. If we cure that, I've been saying it for 5 years, no one listens to me. My dog, I call him, he runs the other way. My wife doesn't listen to me, no one listens. If we cure the transfer rule, 70% of our problems go away. We can deal with all the other stuff.
So, Steve, it sounds, you know, everybody's saying his plan sounds like a good plan. What say you?
First of all, I really like Coach Calipari. I will say I think the mental health he's really concerned about is the mental health of coaches who are being driven crazy by players who are leaving willy-nilly for the next highest bidder. So I think that's the mental health he's most concerned about. You know, when we had the old days where players couldn't get anything. You couldn't even work during the summer season because the NCAA was so restricted. If it was snowing or raining and the coach gave you a ride across campus, that was an NCAA violation. Somewhere between that and these young kids making millions of dollars, and then, as he points out, you know, the revolving door of constantly transferring is not good for the programs. It's better that the players are at least getting something. When I was playing, again, back in the late 70s, you know, we got like $25 a month laundry money, which, you know, you could go buy a couple of sandwiches for that. But now when these kids are getting like $1 million, or like he said, are they going to really want to show up for a job that pays $55,000 as a college graduate or not college graduate, as he pointed out? So I think his plan makes a lot of sense. The thing I would adjust is, you know, okay, you get one free transfer, you don't have to set out. But if the coach leaves, as we've seen this revolving door in football this season, if the coach you signed with and intended to play for leaves, you ought to get a second bite of the apple, in my view.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. I just see a lot of empty seats in these stadiums, and a lot of the stadiums are being renovated or redesigned to actually draw down the current number of seats. That tells me that at least college football is in a period of decline right now, and I do wonder if it's because of the NIL and the fact that the fans have to have some sort of a buy-in as well. You know, getting behind a player for all 4 years or 3 years and watching them grow and develop and build that fan base.
So you're not a fan of this week's mostly irrelevant bowls, you know, that somehow the Joe's Auto Body Shop in Cocoa Beach Bowl drawing, you know, the 25th and 26th team in America. You're not just sitting on the edge of your seat waiting to breathlessly watch that game, Todd?
Well, I was all over the Pop-Tart Bowl, but that's about it for me.
You know, the crazy thing is that these you know, players that are opting out, either they're getting ready to go into the transfer portal or they're deciding I'm going to focus my attention on the NFL and my prospects there. I think, again, what you're seeing in these lower-level bowl games, they don't matter. I mean, again, you get a watch, you get some, you know, a new Xbox or something if you're playing. In some of these cases, the bowls are putting a little extra $1,000 or so into the players' pockets. But for the most part, except for those top bowl games where somebody's playing for a championship, there's not a lot there. Now, for the schools, the fact that your players get another several weeks of practice and preparation, younger guys get some rotation, that's good. It's kind of like another spring practice, making the teams that are successful more successful. But I hate to see all these players opting out and not, again, having any loyalty to their school. But again, when the schools have not shown much loyalty to them, it's a two-way street.
Yeah, this is John Ziegler writing on X. Yesterday, North Texas won a bowl game, ending their best season ever. Today, the entire core of their team, including a star QB who wasn't even recruited out of high school, is now transferring. And no one seems to understand that eventually the second-tier schools will just give up.
Well, and I like the fact that, again, you've got kids coming out of high school that aren't being recruited by anybody, that are either like Joey Aguilar at the University of Tennessee, Diego Pavia at Vanderbilt. They go the junior college route to increase their skills, get some visibility, and then they're being able to kind of move up the ranks into the Power 4, Power 5 conferences and show their skills. I love the ability of these players who develop late, who get overlooked by the recruiters, to have a chance to really show their skills and maybe play into an NFL career. I mean, keep in mind, we were watching this weekend Brock Purdy continuing to just amaze people. This guy was the last guy drafted in the NFL draft. Every single team in the NFL bypassed him repeatedly, and yet even at that level, when they have all the information and tapes and data they need, they overlook this guy. So if they're overlooking it at the NFL, there are thousands of kids that are getting overlooked at the high school level, and I do like the NIL. I do like the transfer capability of these kids to be able to upgrade their status.
Steve Gill, the publisher of TriStarDaily.com, joining us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. You know, Steve, I don't know if you've been following the war of the conservative influencers. It's just so ugly and petty right now. But something was said over the weekend that just really got me. And they're targeting Mark Levin, the great one. And, I mean, they're just trashing this guy. People like Megyn Kelly, Tucker Carlson, you know, all of that crowd, Jack Posobiec. And they were talking, within the insults, they were talking about how he is, you know, his only job is to be a washed-up radio host in a genre that nobody listens to anymore. And that just, for some people, well, it rubbed me the wrong way because I guess it's because it's my industry. But I'm a radio host.
We represent that fact, Todd.
We sure do.
Regret that fact.
You know,
here's, you're insulting us.
Here's what gets me is that I believe radio is more relevant today than any other time in our history. And I say that because these podcasts are a dime a dozen now. Everybody's got an opinion. You know, the audience has balkanized, and yet talk radio, every single day, people either tune in on the local radio station or whatever, you know, they have an app or whatever. And I think our audiences are just as large and are just as influential.
Yeah, and I think that what gets lost in some of these podcasters, you know, whatever comments they're getting or views they're getting, you know, a bunch of those are just bots. They're just computer generated. They aren't real people behind them. The people that call into your show and other talk shows across the country, and most people never will call in. You know, I think only about 10% of listeners ever call in, and yet the opportunity to engage, the opportunity to share your opinion and interact with the host is there with talk radio. That is not there with these people hiding behind their keyboard, making these anonymous comments, if they are actually real. And Todd, I think a lot of this infighting among the, quote, conservative influencers is all about creating controversy to draw clicks, to draw views, rather than to actually move the policy agenda forward, to move the debate forward in a positive way. I think it's all about, I'm going to pick a fight with somebody, and the same way that in a schoolyard when we were kids, when you could still fight and then make up and be best friends by the next day, this is just about them trying to create a fight so people will gather around and watch and yell, fight, fight, fight. And that's what we're seeing. It does not help the conservative cause, and it certainly doesn't help policy moving forward.
Yeah, I do wonder, you know, someone like a Megyn, and I don't want to take anything away from these people. They have very large platforms. But again, they're podcasters. They're not taking calls from listeners, right? They're not engaging in their listeners the way that a talk radio host would do. And I'm just wondering how influential people like Megyn Kelly and Tucker and Candace Owens and Jack Posobiec actually are at the end of the day.
Well, and you get, again, a lot of views, you get a lot of clicks, but if a good-looking woman takes off her clothes and does an OnlyFans page, she's going to get a lot of views. Is that really promoting anything other than her making money showing her underwear or more? And again, some of these influencers, yeah, they're getting a lot of clicks, they're getting a lot of views, but is there much difference in just doing an OnlyFans page for views and clicks versus creating controversy for the sake of controversy?
It's a good question. We're going to have to watch this because, again, there's a lot of chaos right now in the conservative world. They're calling it a MAGA civil war, and I think that actually may be a pretty appropriate way to describe it all. But some of these things, like Tucker Carlson changing his views on Islam, saying radical Islam has never been a threat to the United States, that's just stuff is just off the walls here.
By the way, Todd, I'm making a promise into 2026, which I'm sure you'll agree with and promise as well. Neither Todd or I are taking off a single item of clothing to get more clicks. I'm not even taking off stock.
Good for you. Good for you, Steve Gill. All right, I got to leave it there, Steve. Happy New Year to you, my friend.
Happy New Year, my friend.
All right, Steve Gill, TriStarDaily.com, his website. Go and check that out. Okay, got to take a break. I am curious, do these folks influence you? I mean, the Megyn Kellys and Tucker Carlsons, do they influence how you vote and how you view politics? I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that. We'll be right back.
Sexploitation has killed more children on American soil than ISIS ever did. While we think our sons and daughters are safe from sexual predators and exploitation, they're being victimized right in our homes, in front of our own eyes, through their phones and computers. And until you watch this docuseries, Sexploited in America, the enemy will remain strategic, methodical, invisible, and deadly. Today, up to 90% of our children and families have already been captured, and you will not know until it's too late. In one case, a boy committed suicide just 27 minutes after he was contacted by this enemy. Rescue your children, protect your families, and defend our nation by watching and sharing the docuseries, Sexploited in America. Visit SalemNow.com. That's SalemNow.com. Or visit SexploitedFilm.com. www.sexploitedfilm.com.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. Daytona Beach, Florida. Gary on the line. Hi, Gary. What's on your mind today?
Want to go back for a few minutes on what you were talking about with in Minnesota, and what we should realize is that the Democrats are trying to make this a COVID fraud issue. What took place there? A lot of it did open up and start up at the beginning of COVID. This has nothing to do with COVID now. This is outright theft, fraud, anything you can possibly organize. It's all of the above. And I keep hearing about, well, during COVID, these funds, and it has nothing to do. And the other thing was that they have some young investigative reporters that have talked to legitimate Somalian-run businesses, and the people have said that they knew that a lot of these organizations were stealing, and they were too afraid because they can't speak out against in that community, which is 99% Somalian. A lot of the communities there, they were afraid to speak out about it. And it was amazing that Jacob Fry, the mayor of Minneapolis, was doing a ribbon cutting on a child learning center for a $5 or $6 million learning center, and the sign in back of them, they spelt the word learning wrong. I mean, it was on Fox. It was absolutely hilarious that there's so many of these businesses, especially with the Medicaid. If they had a Medicaid card and they could bill through Medicaid and Medicare, they were it was rampant. And they talked to one of Keith Ellison says, well, we're going to try to seek restitution. There's no way. I'm so tired of hearing about sentences being, well, they got a light sentence and they have to pay back $7 million. That's not going to happen. The restitution thing is a complete farce. But I'm just glad that there's a lot of independent now reporters breaking some of the stories.
Well, yeah, as a matter of fact, as you and I are chatting here, we understand Homeland Security, ICE agents are conducting dozens of raids across Minneapolis and going into many of these Somali-run businesses. So we'll see what transpires out of that. Look, we're not getting any of the money back. And I think, Gary, it's really a matter of how much. I mean, are we really talking about $9 billion? Is it more than that? I mean, you know, Nick Shirley, the 23-year-old, went out there and allegedly found over $100 million in fraud in just one day. And I know that people are just... I would like to think that people are enraged over this, especially folks that work their butts off for a living. You know, I pay a lot of taxes, Gary, and the work I do, I put in a lot of work, usually 60-hour work weeks, and that's on the lighter side of things. And it really angers me that the money I make is going to fund all of these Somalians who are then sending this money back to their home country to sponsor a terrorist organization. And I would like to think that the blood of the average American citizen is boiling when they hear this kind of news.
You got it. I appreciate taking my time here.
All right. Gary, thank you. Appreciate you listening. But yeah, I mean, this is nuts. I mean, really, you know, we take a look at what's happening with our veterans and the lack of resources for our veterans when they come home from war, when they come home from serving honorably, and there's, you know, it takes them sometimes days to get medical help. And you're telling me that meanwhile we're spending, what, $9 billion to take care of a bunch of, what, Somalians? No. I don't think so. By the way, Kash Patel, the FBI director, says this is really just the tip of the iceberg here. We've got a situation that's developing in Ohio, in Columbus, Ohio, involving the Somali community there. So when you look nationwide, I suspect wherever there is a Somali population, you are going to see the same level of fraud and corruption. But I got to tell you, I feel bad. You folks out there working 9 to 5, many of you working outside in the elements, you're working your butt off, and now you find out that a lot of your money is going to this fraud in Minnesota. It's just unacceptable, and they're going to have to do something. We don't need any more investigations. We need to see people being arrested. We need to see people being prosecuted. We need to see people being deported. All right, got to take a break here, folks. Hang tight, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Sexploitation has killed more children on American soil than ISIS ever did. While we think our sons and daughters are safe from sexual predators and exploitation, they're being victimized right in our homes, in front of our own eyes, through their phones and computers. And until you watch this docuseries, Sexploited in America, the enemy will remain strategic, methodical, invisible, and deadly. Today, up to 90% of our children and families have already been captured, and you will not know until it's too late. In one case, a boy committed suicide just 27 minutes after he was contacted by this enemy. Rescue your children, protect your families, and defend our nation by watching and sharing the docuseries, Sexploited in America. Visit SalemNow.com. That's SalemNow.com. Or visit SexploitedFilm.com. www.sexploitedfilm.com.
Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us! American
Ride. Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, just a few moments ago at Mar-a-Lago, President Trump, who is meeting with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, announced that we had blown something up over in Venezuela. So here's the deal. If you're running drugs on a boat, you're going to get blown up. And if you're harvesting those drugs in the fields of wherever in Venezuela, you're going to get blown up too. Over the weekend, and by the way, welcome to the Todd Stearns Radio Program, Hour 3. Happy to have you with us. Over the weekend, Christmas Day, President Trump blew up a bunch of Muslim terrorists, and this is actually great news, and sent them right to the Lake of Fire. All of this happening in Nigeria, which, by the way, the United States, in cooperation with Nigeria, executed these airstrikes. I mean, it was pretty dramatic over the Christmas holiday. And by the way, it was all deliberate. The president wanting to send a message that we're not going to tolerate Christians getting slaughtered in Nigeria. Want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to a special guest, Brad Brandon, who is the CEO of Across Nigeria. Brad, good to have you with us today.
Hey, Todd, good to be on with you.
So want to get your reaction here to what happened. And first of all, let's back up here. Let's talk about what exactly has been going on with Christians there in Nigeria.
Yeah, so for over 10 years, there has been a targeted persecution against Christians, particularly in northern Nigeria, which is about 90 to 95% Muslim, different than southern Nigeria, which is about just the opposite, about 90% Christian. But in northern Nigeria, 12 of the northern Nigeria states are controlled by Sharia law. Conservative estimates say about 60,000 Christians have been killed since 2009. 18,000 churches have been destroyed. You've got 3.5 million people in internally displaced persons camps because their houses have been destroyed, their communities, villages have been destroyed, so they're thrown into the IDP camps. The horrible conditions of the IDP camps, I should mention. So really, it's a genocide against Christians that have been happening for well over 10 years in northern Nigeria.
And I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but in 2022, more Christians were killed in Nigeria than any other country in the world. Is that right?
Yeah, that's true for 22, 23, 24, and it's looking that way for 25. In fact, last year, if you took all the Christians that were killed in the entire world, 70% of them were killed in northern Nigeria. So it is the most dangerous place in the world to be a Christian.
Why are the Christians being targeted, and who is doing the killing?
Well, most of the killing is happening from three groups. One, it's either ISIS, which ISWA, the Islamic State of West Africa, which is the ISIS of West Africa, or a group called Boko Haram. They're also an Islamic terrorist group that is bent on jihad. And then also there is involved in that with the Fulani Muslims is another group. And most of the killing from the Fulani Muslims happen because of socioeconomic issues. But they're all related to extremist radical Islam that's taken over the entire region.
Do we know why? Is there a specific reason they're killing the Christians?
Yeah, because they're trying to retain control of northern Nigeria. So in order to retain control, they have to destabilize the entire area. The Nigerian government has, in their own way, sort of tried to bring stability to the region. But in order to retain control, the local governors, the local leaders, they're all Islamic. In order to retain control, they have to destabilize the area. So in order to do that, they have to drive Christians out. They make Christians second-class citizens, all of the things that go along with that. But ultimately, at the end of the day, it's about keeping control of not only northern Nigeria, but Nigeria as a whole. Nigeria claims to be a Muslim-Christian country, but their constitution mentions Islam and Sharia law about 126 times, mentions Christianity zero times. So
wow.
There's also a constitutional crisis that is going on in Nigeria as well.
And I think it's important to hear all of this and our listeners to hear all of this, because you have a number of conservative influencers now who are saying that Islam is not a threat to anybody and Muslims are not going out there and killing anybody. That is clearly not the case in Nigeria.
No, it's not the case in Nigeria, and you can see the increase, the rapid increase in persecution against Christians and Jews at the hands of radical Islam all around the world. I mean, we're talking about Europe, we're talking about Africa, we're talking about all kinds of other parts of the world, and it's even creeping its way into the United States here.
And that's the concerning part for me, because I do see all of this happening, and we have had open borders. Lord knows who has been allowed into the country. But I think we need to be concerned with the people that were deliberately led into the country under the guise of being refugees who want to now destroy our way of life here in America.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening. I mean, look at Europe. It's the canary in the coal mine. You have cities, entire neighborhoods of major cities in Europe, London and Berlin and other parts of Europe, where they have no-go zones. These are Islamic-ruled parts of the city where even first responders and police can't enter into these neighborhoods because they're controlled by Sharia law and dominated by Islam. Islam and Sharia law is never content to just assimilate to the culture. they come in and want to dominate. That's what Sharia law does. You can look at the Arbitration Act in the UK. The Arbitration Act in the UK is calling for Sharia courts to be Sharia court rulings to be used as precedent in their legal system in the UK. We see some of that happening even here in the United States. Back in 2009, there was a Superior Court judge in New Jersey that consulted a couple's imam. The wife was accusing the husband of abuse. And so the judge consulted the couple's imam, and under Sharia law ruling, a woman's testimony is worth half of that of a man. So the judge ended up taking the Sharia ruling and applying it to his court, denying the woman a protective order. Now, that was ultimately overturned by a higher court, but it just shows the volition of Sharia law, even creeping in here in the United States, not to assimilate to the American culture or the American legal system, but to dominate it, to really become the ruling part of wherever they go. And that's the volition of Sharia law.
Brad Brandon joining us. He's the CEO of Across Nigeria. I want you to tell our listeners what your organization is doing and what you guys exist for.
Yeah, our organization was founded about 10 years ago, really when the killing in northern Nigeria started ramping up and becoming extremely serious. We go into northern Nigeria. We operate in areas that are controlled by ISWA, controlled by Boko Haram, and we bring aid to the Christians who are being persecuted. We have a refugee facility where we house people whose lives are in danger, who are being hunted. In northern Nigeria, under Sharia law, it is a crime to become a Christian. So if you're a Muslim or you're from a Muslim family and you become a Christian, that is a crime that is punishable by death under the blasphemy laws in Sharia law. So people's lives are in danger. We bring them to our refugee facility, help them to restart their life, and then relocate them to a safer part of the country. We also bring aid to other small persecuted areas or communities throughout northern Nigeria. So much persecution is going on and so much aid is needed. But that's the main thrust of our ministry, is to bring aid to persecuted Christians in northern Nigeria.
AcrossNigeria.org is the website, folks. AcrossNigeria.org. You know, Brad, I'm so glad that you guys are bringing attention to what's happening over in Nigeria, because I just don't want that to happen here. And I look at places where Islam has already taken over. I think Paterson, New Jersey, they're now calling Paterson the fourth holiest city in the world. The Islamists rule Paterson across, you know, many cities in Minnesota and now Michigan. And one of the most troubling things, there was a city council meeting and there was a Christian citizen, and the mayor, who is Muslim, said, you know, I dream of the day that you're no longer welcome here. That troubles me here in America, that this is already beginning to happen.
Yeah, he was in that city council meeting. He was protesting the renaming of a street. They wanted to rename a street after somebody who is connected with radical Islamic terrorism. He was protesting that and told that he has no place in that community anymore. But again, that just shows the push of Sharia law and radical Islam. They want to dominate. They're only satisfied when they can dominate. They don't want to assimilate. You know, something that's really interesting is you look at how the left and radical Islam, they hold hands together. They're bedfellows. And you think, what in the world do these two different groups have in common? I mean, you have the left in the United States here. They're touting, you know, gay rights, trans rights, all these things. Muslims don't believe that. Radical Muslims certainly don't believe that. But what they do have in common is totalitarianism and the silencing of opposition. And in that, they are partners, because they both want to silence the opposition at all costs, and they want to dominate. And that's what they have in common. And for right now, they're partners together. You know, we'll see what happens in the end of that. But I think a lot of people wonder what those two have in common. It is totalitarianism and dominance is what it is.
All right. Well, Brad, we're going to have to leave it there. We appreciate you coming on the show today. And, folks, I would encourage you to go and check out the website for the organization Across Nigeria. That's acrossnigeria.org. Brandon, thank you.
Hey, thanks, Todd. Good to be on with you.
Wow. Yikes. When you see the level of slaughter, I mean, it's a genocide against Christians there in Nigeria. And if you listen to what Brad Brandon was saying, he's warning us that that could happen here one day if we are not careful. But it is we're living in some pretty precarious days, and we've got to be able to address these issues. And I'm glad that he just came right out and called it for what it is. Because the reason why these people are being slaughtered is because they're Christians. That's the reason why they're being slaughtered. And we just cannot allow that to happen. All right, got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. Our number again, 901-260-5926. Coming up tonight, 5 o'clock on Newsmax, we have a jam-packed show for you. We're doing a deep dive into what's happening in Somalia with all of the, geez, the fraud is just off the charts. The corruption, it's insane. So we want to encourage you to go and watch Newsmax tonight. President Trump is a big fan. Millions are tuning into Newsmax, watching Newsmax on cable, our streaming channel, Newsmax 2, and they're downloading our free Newsmax app on smartphones and TVs. Reuters says we are one of the top news brands in the nation. So find out why Newsmax is the fastest growing news channel in America. Make the switch today and join our news revolution. Get Newsmax on cable, on streaming, and download the free app today. Take seconds to start. And let President Trump know that you stand with Newsmax, real news for real people.
Sexploitation has killed more children on American soil than ISIS ever did. While we think our sons and daughters are safe from sexual predators and exploitation, they're being victimized right in our homes, in front of our own eyes, through their phones and computers. And until you watch this docuseries, Sexploited in America, the enemy will remain strategic, methodical, invisible, and deadly. Today, up to 90% of our children and families have already been captured, and you will not know until it's too late. In one case, a boy committed suicide just 27 minutes after he was contacted by this enemy. Rescue your children, protect your families, and defend our nation by watching and sharing the docuseries, Sexploited in America. Visit SalemNow.com. That's SalemNow.com. Or visit SexploitedFilm.com. www.SexploitedFilm.com.
I like the way Scott Bessent actually described what's happening with the economy. He said 2025 was all about President Trump setting the table, putting all the pieces in place for what is expected to be an incredible economy as we move into the new year. And once the tax cuts happen, once the big, beautiful bill goes into effect, it is really going to be remarkable what's going to happen in this country. And the Democrats are terrified about that, absolutely terrified about that. So we'll keep you updated, but things are going to look very, very good for the economy. By the way, Marjorie Taylor Greene making some headlines. She sat down with the New York Times. And again, my problem with these conservatives, why are you sitting down with these far-left anti-Trump publications? And that includes J.D. Vance back before he became vice president. But MTG is out there doing interviews, and she told the New York Times that President Trump's Christian faith is empty and performative. She said that President Trump does not have a sincere Christian faith. She also claims that President Trump privately admitted he wanted to protect his friends from any Epstein revelations. Another big issue MTG has with the president, she blames him for training the Republican Party on toxic politics. Now, this is interesting because I remember when MTG first ran for office, we were one of the first people to put her on, one of the first interviews. And correct me if I'm wrong, but she was like standing up in a Jeep or some sort of a military vehicle holding a giant weapon. She said, "Our side has been trained by Donald Trump to never apologize and to never admit when you're wrong. You just keep pummeling your enemies no matter what. And as a Christian, I don't believe in doing that." So now she's portraying herself, I don't know, as Mother Teresa or somebody, a kind of a female Billy Graham. She said, "After Charlie died, I realized I'm part of this toxic culture. I really started looking at my faith. I wanted to be more like Christ." Really? Would Jesus sit down for an interview at the New York Times and spill the beans? Come on. She also said President Trump has a woman problem, pointing out how he treats several female reporterettes. She also said that she feared being murdered after President Trump branded her a traitor. So look, here's the deal. Bottom line here, and this is really all you need to know about MTG. Oh, here we go. She also said Republican leaders tried to put her back in her box, and they were upset with her Trump attack appearances on The View and Real Time with Bill Maher. She said, "All of a sudden, I'm in places that you're not supposed to be." Here's what you need to know about MTG. She's a Democrat. That's it. She's a lib. And I suspect she was always a liberal. But MTG is upset because she wanted to run for the Senate there in Georgia. And the White House showed her polling data that showed that would be a complete disaster. And this is the reason why, because now we get to see MTG for who she really is. And when you read the interview in the New York Times, that's the first thing that popped into my mind was, oh, she's a liberal. All right, well, that explains everything. All right, got to take a break. And you Georgia folks, curious to hear your thoughts on this. She's your gal. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stark Show.
What if everything you thought you knew about online exploitation was only the surface? The shocking docuseries, Sexploited, rips the veil off the digital darkness destroying lives. You'll be stunned by what's uncovered in these real stories. Watch the trailers, if you dare. Once you see it, you'll understand why silence is no longer an option. Visit SalemNow.com and watch Sexploited in America. And visit SexploitedFilm.com.
Barbara in Georgia, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Oh, how do some of the illegal Muslims in Michigan and other areas that are illegal, how is it legal for them to vote with not being legal American citizens?
Well, it's a great question, Barbara. I know they've done some research there in Michigan, and they have confirmed that non-citizens, they call them non, they may or may not be illegal, but they're non-citizens, are able to vote. And in some communities, they're actually given the right to vote in non-federal elections, so like for city council or for school board, things of that nature.
Yeah. Well, you know, when we go to vote, no matter what position it is, whether it's federal or, you know, like you said, a local state, we have to be legal, and we have to show proof that we're legal. There's just some unfairness with our laws, I think, that needs to be addressed.
Well,
everybody's treated the same.
That's
we're supposed to be equal.
Well, Barbara, what really throws people for a loop is that in some places in the United States, non-citizens are actually allowed to vote. Not everywhere, but a good many places. It does remain illegal for them to vote in federal elections. And I think that's the problem a lot of folks really have here.
Yeah. It's just causing it to escalate. And then by the time they do get legal, they've done taken over.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
All right, Barbara.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
I'm happy to do it. Thank you for listening. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I want to play some audio. This is from a conversation I had on Newsmax with Congressman Tim Burchett. You know, there's been a lot of people are really frustrated at the lack of movement in Congress. But I think most of that frustration is actually on the Senate side. But let's take a listen to what Congressman Burchett had to say. Good to have you with us. So in my opening remarks, I pointed out that the GOP-led Congress passed less than 40 bills this year. This is a modern low, historic low in Congress. Are you surprised to hear those numbers? And did I get anything wrong here?
I actually think it's probably smaller, but, you know, as you know, I'm from Tennessee, as you are, Todd, and we don't like more laws. I think we've got too many on the books as it is. You know, we passed the big, beautiful bill, and it strengthened our border. It made us more energy independent, and therefore it has increased our economic strength in the world. As you've seen, the prices of fuel are dropping. I've never seen the liberal media more biased when they say we need more laws. I don't think we need more restrictions. I think we need less. But therein, we do need to follow up with a lot of President Trump's executive orders. Those are the kind of things that I think we'll be doing in the new year. As I had a closed-door meeting with the speaker before I left to come back to God's country here in Tennessee, and he and I both talked about the importance of finishing strong, and I believe he sees that as well. And you got to realize, too, everybody in Washington, D.C. sees themselves as the speaker. So I think sometimes you got to watch sometimes from within some folks that could be sniping at you. So I'm pleased with what we're done. I think we needed to do more, but I think we're on the right track. And I think, as I've always said, it's not how you start, it's how you finish.
Well, the bigger dumpster fire is on the other side of the aisle. Congressman, new polling finds congressional Democrats' approval rating at the lowest level since 2009. Just 18% approve of the job congressional Democrats are doing. That is certainly good news as we're moving into the midterms. What is it that the Republicans need to do to win at the ballot box?
I think we need to address President Trump's America First agenda. We have, Congress has won with, we have three or four people in the majority. We're one flu season away from losing the majority. Reagan said it best, you know, we could lose everything in one generation. Todd, we could lose everything in one vote series. I mean, these people are serious Marxists. When you have my friend AOC and all these others are the main spokespeople and are the agenda drivers in the Democrat Party now. Hakeem Jeffries, just basically all he does is attack Republicans when they point out illegal things going on in Washington, D.C. And that's where the Democrat Party is today. They don't know where they're going. They are a rudderless ship. And probably the best friend the Democrat Party has is the Republican messaging, because we're pretty poor at that and explaining what we're doing and what we're trying to do.
All right, just a bit of the interview I did with Congressman Burchett. Brand new polling out from Real Clear Politics. This is their average of all the polling data out there. Democrats, the unfavorable number for Democrats, 56.2%. That's just brutal. And again, when you analyze those numbers, people just are not buying into this radical agenda. Meanwhile, you've got MTG out there, and by the way, new intel on MTG saying that President Trump would stop at nothing to remain in office even after his second term ends, and that he will try to cling to power. MTG also predicting President Trump will start a war to remain in power past his second term. Where is she getting that? The president has been a man of peace. As a matter of fact, this president abhors war and wants to make sure that American young men and young women don't have to go and fight a war. So I'm not sure where she's getting all this, but MTG is literally spewing left-wing talking points right now. I mean, it's really remarkable. But I'm curious if, and again, the breaking point, and I think there were multiple breaking points with her. She has been an agent of disruption ever since the first day that she stepped foot in the Congress. And if you don't believe me, go ask Kevin McCarthy. But now she wants to do in Speaker Mike Johnson. And I think she's dealing with hurt feelings. MTG wanted to be in leadership. She wanted to be a player, and she never could get a seat at the table. And a lot of it is because of her attitude and her behavior, which is off the charts crazy. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I would not be surprised if she ended up switching political parties. I really don't. There's no difference between what the Democrats are spewing and what MTG is spewing right now. That's unfortunate, but that's the way it is. We'll be right back.
What if everything you thought you knew about online exploitation was only the surface? The shocking docuseries, Sexploited, rips the veil off the digital darkness destroying lives. You'll be stunned by what's uncovered in these real stories. Watch the trailers, if you dare. Once you see it, you'll understand why silence is no longer an option. Visit SalemNow.com and watch Sexploited in America. And visit SexploitedFilm.com.
Had a chance to talk to Troy Miller, who is president of National Religious Broadcasters. They have been all over the story on the attacks of the Nigerians, among other issues. We had a great conversation the other day. Let's take a listen.
Well, joining me now is the president and CEO of the National Religious Broadcasters, Troy Miller. Troy, good to have you with us this evening. Your reaction to yesterday's airstrikes?
Well, what a great Christmas present to those Christians in northern Nigeria. The president made a promise. He said if the Nigerian government couldn't get this under control, then the Americans were going to step in, and he did. So I hope the message has been sent to ISIS there in the north that America won't stand by idly and watch you slaughter Christians in that country.
Troy, since 2009, we've run the numbers here. More than 50,000 Christians have been murdered by Islamist extremists in Nigeria, 7,000 killed just this year. And this crisis happening all across the globe. More than 380 million Christians live in nations with high levels of persecution or discrimination. That's about one in seven Christians across the world. And yet, the mainstream media, the fake news, dismissing all of this. Let's watch this report from MS Now.
The Nigerian government has insisted that Christians are not being disproportionately targeted by terrorists in Nigeria, and the data just doesn't back that up either. Trump has been repeating these claims, it appearingly to appease his far-right Christian evangelical Christian base, who have long condemned the targeting of Christians in Nigeria. But having been in Nigeria and been in communities that are targeted by Boko Haram and by ISWAP, I've seen from myself that these communities are often Muslim, that there's no discrimination between Christians and Muslims.
Are you buying this nonsense here, Troy?
No, the mainstream media is just a propaganda arm for the left. And honestly, Todd, it's a propaganda arm for radical Islam. You know, the Voice of the Martyr said in the recent report, the most dangerous belief to hold around the world is the belief in Jesus Christ, is to be a Christian, whether you're in Africa, Asia, India, South America, even in South Korea, which has put two pastors in jail recently for speaking up out of the Bible. That it's the most dangerous. And I can't believe the mainstream media, they refuse to even bring this to anybody's attention. Over 200,000 people have been driven from their homes around the world this year alone, and half of those were in Nigeria.
And Troy, let's not forget what's happening right now across Western Europe, where you had holiday festivities canceled in places like Paris. You've got Christmas under attack in the UK. And even here in the United States, Troy, we're starting to see those attacks coming from the Islamists.
Yeah, Todd, 1,000 arson events across Europe. 1,000 churches have been burned across Europe. You won't find that in mainstream media either. They just hide these facts, and you're right. Look, right now we've had some attacks in the U.S., but we've had a lot of threats, and that's going to get ratcheted up when these folks see the boldness that's going on around the world. So I want to thank the president for sending a clear message to those ISIS and other Islamist terrorists to say, look, the U.S. isn't going to sit back idly to do this. And look, we in the Christian community thank him for that.
Troy, before we let you go, we understand Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, will be meeting with President Trump. How important is that relationship between the United States and Israel? I know there's been a lot of scuttlebutt within the conservative world about being this rise of anti-Semitism. How important is that relationship?
It's extremely important, and you're right. There's been a rise of not only anti-Semitism, but also anti-Zionism within the movement. We saw some of those speeches at the TPUSA AmFest. So this is an important meeting. We get a lot of intelligence. We get a lot more back from Israel than we actually give them in military support. So it's important for us to understand that, and it's important us to understand that in Israel, you can be a Christian. You can live out your faith. You're not going to get persecuted. Matter of fact, I've been there four times this year. You can be a Muslim and live out your faith in Israel. And so this is the most free country in the Middle East, and we should support them.
All right. Again, that part of our conversation with Troy Miller from National Religious Broadcasters. I want to go back to Minneapolis for a moment just to kind of give you an example of the sort of fraud that they are uncovering, $9 billion worth of Medicaid fraud in Minnesota, the largest in American history. According to one report, a restaurant called Safari, located in Minneapolis, seats 35 people. That's all you can fit in there. They claim to have served 18,000 meals a day to hungry children. And the federal government paid them for every single meal. We now know that the children never existed. The meals never existed. The money did, but it's gone now. This is just one example. Just shocking, shocking stories of how your tax dollars were simply squandered. By the way, this report coming in from Fox News, nearly 221,000 Americans have now applied to work at ICE. In spite of all the violence coming from the left, Americans are willing to step up, put on the uniform, and deport the invaders. This is just terrific news. Well done. Well done, Homeland Security. You got to love our border czar, Tom Homan. I'm telling you, he is fired up. 901-260-5926, a blast from the past. Remember Al Gore? Al Gore predicted many years ago that all of us would be underwater right now because of global warming, right? I want to go back to the year of our Lord, 1982, CBS News, predicting that 25% of Florida would end up underwater. Take a listen.
Concern about rising temperatures on planet Earth heated up a hearing here in Washington today. For years, scientists have theorized about the dangers of the so-called greenhouse effect, the warming of the Earth's atmosphere due to the burning of coal and oil. And in recent months, as David Culhane reports, research has uncovered facts to support that theory.
Many scientists claim that the temperature of the Earth's atmosphere has been rising over the past 100 years, that the great sheets of pack ice in Antarctica are melting at a much more rapid rate than previously. And finally, that the sea level has been rising with increasing swiftness over the past 40 years. If these scientists are correct, about 25% of Florida would be flooded sometime in the next century, along with low-lying areas all over the world. climate changes could produce widespread disruption of agriculture. The American farm belt might be too dry, and the wheat and corn crops would have to move to Canada. Scientists blame the odorless, colorless carbon dioxide gas for these potentially dangerous changes around the planet. It is the greenhouse effect. The gas allows sunlight to filter down and warm the earth. But like the glass of a greenhouse, the carbon dioxide tends to trap heat so that it cannot rise into space. The scientists maintain that the coal, oil, and gas we've been burning for 100 years have produced more and more carbon dioxide and helped overheat the earth.
We are not doing the kind of research that we should be doing to determine whether or not these scientists who are so alarmed are correct in their assessment.
This computer model simulates Arctic ice. Scientists are trying to predict the rate at which it will melt and how much it will make the oceans rise. And what they find out will affect the lives and fortunes of millions of people. The very survival of cities like this one.
All right, I just have one question. Oh, that was Al Gore you heard in the interview there. Wah, 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 wah. That's Al Gore. So I just have one question for the folks over at CBS News. Maybe Barry Weiss can put out a statement here. Has CBS ever retracted that story? Have they ever apologized for publishing that story? And they weren't the only ones. Back in the 1980s, they were predicting that all of this, that Florida would no longer exist. All of Florida would be underwater. How are you folks down in Ocala doing? How are you folks in Fort Myers doing today? You staying dry? It's just unbelievable that the media gets away with this every single time. But we're happy to call them out right here on the Todd Stearns Radio Show. All right, folks, got to call it a day. ToddStearns.com. Go check out our website. Bookmark our website. Download our podcast. Get our newsletter. Free resources for you and for your family. It's been a lot of fun, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us on the radio. We're going to be right back at it tomorrow, noon o'clock Eastern. Get out there and be good, everybody.
Hey, girl. Yes, you. You are seen. You are loved. And you were made for more. Hey, girl. Created especially for teen girls, chart-topping Christian artist Ann Wilson invites you to her 40-day devotional, Hey Girl, through honest stories, scripture, and journal prompts. Ann talks about real struggles, comparison, insecurity, doubt, and faith, reminding you that God is always near and fighting for you. Hey Girl, from K-Love Books. Get your copy today at klove.com/books.